Well, amen. Thank you, girls. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, second book in the Bible, and the 20th chapter. Exodus chapter 20 for the message tonight. I'm going to ask all of you to really work hard tonight. I've been working on this message for about 3 weeks, and I think I got it where I want it. I have to have it where I want it because I'm preaching it right now. Can't change it now. But do what? That'll work. Okay. But I'm going to speak about something tonight that is going to require you to think a little bit with me. But if you will just stay with me and think about what I'm wanting you to see, I think that you'll see something about the Lord, about our God and your relationship to Him, and you'll understand Him a little bit better. I have for many years read Exodus 20. Now you know that this is the chapter where God gave Moses what we call the Ten Commandments. And there are some fascinating statements in this chapter. And I'm going to preach on one of those fascinating statements tonight. But if you'll look at verse 1, and we'll look at the first commandment tonight. And verse 1 says that God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now here's the commandment. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now you know what that means. That just simply means that God was to be their God. They weren't to have God plus Buddha or God plus Allah or God plus Baal or God plus Moloch or any of the other gods. It was God and God alone. And verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. Now, I want you just to let that phrase sink into your mind. God said, I am a jealous God. Now, when you stop and think about that statement, that's an amazing statement right there. And I want to share with you some thoughts on it tonight. Our God is a jealous God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Bible. And Lord, as we've read this verse and we've read this statement, I pray now your blessings to be upon it as I preach on it and as I try to break into parts and break into thoughts how we can best understand what you were saying to your people. And Lord, while these were in the commandments, they certainly are relevant for each one of us. For Lord, there's plenty of New Testament support for the fact that we are to put you first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So Lord, help us to see the importance of putting you first in all areas of our lives. Lord, may we realize your jealousy tonight, and may we understand a little bit better what this verse means. And Lord, may you speak to our hearts through it. May it motivate us to want to serve you better. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on a very revealing statement given to us by God, given by God himself, concerning an attribute of his nature. In the fifth verse, we are told, I am the Lord, or I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. Jealousy is so associated with sin and an evil heart that all of us would never venture to think of God as being jealous without the authority of the Scripture behind us. Would you agree with that? All of us are appalled by a jealous nature in somebody else. We see jealousy in someone and it's appalling to us. We don't want to be around it. We don't want to see it. It is a characteristic that someone has that absolutely just turns us against the person who is jealous. Having a jealous nature is not something that endears us to the one consumed by its grip. All of us have seen what jealousy can do to someone's personality, how it can take control and cause a person to have and exhibit traits and display actions that just make us want to get as far away from them as we possibly can get. All of us have seen people in our lifetimes that have that became engulfed in jealousy, and when it was finished with them, it left them full of bitterness and hurt or anger, and only a shell of what they used to be. I remember in college seeing the Shakespeare play Othello, and then I had to read it for an English class, and the great mind of Shakespeare reveals to us in that play what can happen when we allow jealousy to rule over us. Here was a man, the leading character of the play, Othello, a man with a wonderful life, a great life, yet goaded into madness by the wild beast of jealousy. Othello becomes blind and goes crazy and ends up murdering the woman he loved and adored, all because of that jealousy that raged in his heart. You see, what Shakespeare was trying to get us to see is jealousy never works the way you think it's going to work. It never works the way you plan for it to work. And it simply shows the evil heart that is within man. Francis Bacon many years ago wrote in one of his essays that envy was the vilest of all passions. It distorts everything, blinds our vision, and is the mother of profound unhappiness. And that is why you and I naturally think naturally shrink from anyone or any person that is jealous, and that's why you and I would naturally shrink from even thinking that God could possibly be a jealous God. Because we know how wicked experience has taught us just how deadly and how poisonous jealousy can be. Now, as I thought of my subject tonight, I thought of all the passages in the Bible that show us just how jealousy ruined biblical characters. I thought about Cain, for example, all the way back in the beginning of the Bible, all the way back at the beginning of mankind. And Cain rose up one day in a jealous rage and killed his brother Abel. I'm thinking about King Saul, not unlike Othello, not unlike Shakespeare's Othello, who was filled with jealousy when the women sang as they came back from the battle with Goliath and the Philistines, and the women gathered and they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." And jealousy became like gall and wormwood to the spirit of Saul. And we read in the Bible that he spent the rest of his days on earth trying to kill the man who was the object of his jealous heart. When we turn to the New Testament, there are also examples of what jealousy can do to the human heart. We find the disciples, for example, jealous that a disciple, not one of their own, but another disciple, would dare cast out devils in the name of Christ. We see the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were so jealous of Jesus that they became totally obsessed with killing him and would not stop until they did. We even read of the jealousy that rose up between neighboring towns. And it's such a short glimpse in the Bible at the very beginning of our Lord's ministry that you might read over it and miss it. Cana and Nazareth, two little towns in Galilee, were just about 6 miles apart. And yet, Nathanael of Cana said or asked one day, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And so jealousy is found. The truth of the matter is, you don't have to turn to Shakespeare to see the dark side of jealousy. I mean, all you have to do is just read the Bible. And you can see the dark side of jealousy and see all the tragedy and all of its pettiness is found right on the pages of the Word of God. And yet, the Bible, which knows our human heart and searches